te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Before I begin, thank you all very much for attending. And I beg the mercy of all the assembled Vaishnavas here and on the internet to pray that I say something useful and beneficial for everyone assembled here, including for myself, so that we can all gain the blessings, ideally, of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Krishna for his grace and help. Thank you. Tasmai Adat Hari Chakram Pratyanika Vaya Avaham. Ekanta Bhakti Bhavena Pritaha Bhakta Abirakshanam Tasma Adandarish Chakram Pratyanika Payavaham Ekanta Bhakti Bhavena Prito Bhakta Birakshanam Tasma Adadarish Chakram Patyannika Baya Vaham Ekanta Bhakti Bhavena Prito Bhakta Birakshanam Tasma Adadarish Chakram Pratyanika Bayavaham Akanta Bhakti Bhavena Krito Bhakta Birakshanam. Let's chant.
Thank you.
Ladies, please. Tasmai unto him, Ambarish Maharaj. Adat gave Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chakram, his disc. Pratyanika, Baya Avaham, the Lord's disc, which was extremely fearful, to the enemies of the Lord and his devotees. Ekanta Bhakti Bhavena, because of his performing unalloyed devotional service. Prittaha, the Lord being so pleased. Bhakta Abhirakshanam, for the protection of his devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities. Please repeat. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to the enemies, and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversities. Purport. A devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, may not be expert in self-defense. But because a devotee fully depends upon the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always sure of protection by the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvije para duratyaya vaitaranyas tvad virya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. From Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.43. A devotee is always merged in the ocean of the transcendental bliss of rendering service to the Lord. Therefore, he is not at all afraid of any adverse situation in the material world. The Lord also promises, Kuntiya pratijanihi name bhaktaha pranashati, which means, O Arjun, you may declare it to the world that the devotees of the Lord are never vanquished. That's Bhagavad Gita 9.31. For the protection of the devotees, Krishna's disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, is always ready. This disc is extremely fearful to the non-devotees, Pratyanika Vayavaham. Therefore, although Maharaj Ambarish was fully engaged in devotional service, his kingdom was free of all fear of adversity. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So here we have an interesting situation. To begin with, the narration being given by Shukdeva Goswami is in response to Parikshit Maharaj's questions about this great Rajarshi, Ambarish Maharaj. He's heard much about him, with special reference to the fact that although he was a king with innumerable responsibilities, defending a kingdom, maintaining a kingdom, building up a kingdom, in spite of all these, nonetheless, he found much time to increase his devotional service and to increase his Krishna consciousness, and ultimately to improve his kingdom. Because as it is mentioned here, his kingdom was free of all fear of adversity. Kingdom means the praja. It means the devotees, the people who live there. So as it is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever a great man does, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So obviously, King Ambarish set the ideal standard, and that standard has been mentioned and described in previous verses. He uses eyes to look at the deity. He uses hands to offer flowers or offer other offerings to the deity. He uses nose to smell the flowers that were offered to the deity. He uses ears to hear the hymns and the chants glorifying the Supreme Lord. He used his legs to walk to the temple. He used his arms to do whatever was necessary in the puja, waving the waving the yak tail wisp, waving the fan, or waving the light. He used his whole body and his mind to serve the Supreme Lord. And this was done not mechanically or indifferently or robotically. It was done completely with the heart. And doing it with the heart, the Lord was pleased, and being pleased, that good which he performed and which the Lord was pleased with was then sent back in the form of blessings to the kingdom. So people were happy. Sometimes people don't know why they feel happy, but the king is highly responsible for that. And in this case, King Ambarish was pleasing the Lord. And just as if you pour water onto the root of a tree, all the leaves are benefited, all the stems are benefited. Similarly, the king was pouring the water or the nectar of devotional love onto the root of the Supreme Lord Krishna, and Krishna was accepting it, especially since it was being given with love. It was being given without any demand for return. It was given unconditionally, and generally speaking, his love was uninterrupted. For whatever he did for Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, do this as an offering unto me. In this way you will be freed from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, giving away, giving away, giving away, with your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and you will come to me. So Krishna is making a promise. And King Ambarish is showing how that promise can be fulfilled. Whatever he does, wherever he goes, whatever he thinks, Krishna is the object of it all. So he's naturally in the pure transcendental consciousness, Satchit Ananda. He's feeling his eternality. He's not feeling he's the body. He's using the body in the loving service of Krishna. But he's not feeling that he is the body. He's feeling he's eternal. So when you feel you are eternal, what can disturb you? What can upset you? What can shake you? What can rattle you? You see it, you observe it, you deal with it, but you're not in any way upset because you know you, the person, the reality, the soul, can never die and doesn't die and has never been dead. So knowing this and feeling this, it's one thing to simply know it because you read it, that's good. But to actually come to the point where you actually experience yourself or ourselves as an eternal soul, part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, and we feel the nectar of that connection. As Krishna says, again in the Bhagavad Gita, one who is not connected with me in Krishna consciousness can have neither transcendental intelligence nor a steady mind, without which there is no possibility of peace. And how can there be any happiness without peace? So Krishna is giving the formula here. We must always be consciously connected to him. This means that when we chant his name, we are aware of whose name we're chanting, not just a name or another name, but Krishna's name, the Supreme Lord's name, a pure name, a perfect name, a name that gives blessings, a name that is non-different from the Supreme Lord. So that should make us very happy that we are in association with, we're in touch with, we're in connection with the Supreme Lord just by saying Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. It's very exciting to know that I've just touched Krishna. Sometimes people think, well, I have to see the form. Prabhupada said, what are you always talking so much seeing? He said, just listen. Listen to the name. And if you listen to the name and you listen to it with love and listen to it with devotion, listen to it in a mood of surrender, listen to it in a mood of submission, listen to it in a mood of appreciation, listen to it in a mood of glorification, well, then you will be feeling Krishna. And Krishna will be blessing you. And you feel the bliss, the ecstasy, the happiness of Krishna. So that's what Prabhupada taught us. And that's what Prabhupada exemplified. And we're very fortunate, especially for those who watched him chant and who were taught chanting from him. Anyone who spoke with Srila Prabhupada was literally showered with the nectar of immortality and is very greatly favored. Many people had to wait many years in order to actually wake up to the fact how favored they really were. I mean, I'm one of them. As the years now come by and I get closer and closer to death, you know, I'm up in my 80s now. So I begin to realize what a blessing, what a benediction, what a grace. How could a person who lived such a sinful life prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, I mean before yoga, how could I get such a blessing? No, you don't get, nobody gives such a blessing, but God is so merciful. He is so kind, he is so sweet, he is so generous, so loving. I owe him so much. How can I ever repay? I cannot repay. And I should never think that in my wildest dreams I can ever repay even one particle of a fraction to the Supreme Lord. I owe so much. Actually, I should have been thrown into some garbage dump long ago. But somehow he didn't. He must have had amnesia or something. He forgot. Or if he didn't forget, he said, well, Let's give him a shot. Let's give him a try. Let's give him some mercy. And so that mercy is still working. And it's so beautiful. It's so desirable that all you want to do is whatever good you feel, whatever joy you feel, whatever happiness you feel, you simply and only want to share it everywhere and anywhere because that is the nature of transcendental love. Transcendental love as opposed to material love. Material love just wants to keep it all for oneself. You have your girlfriend, you have your wife, she's mine, he's mine, this is mine, I. That's all we think in the materialistic love consciousness. But in the spiritual love consciousness, it's, I've gotten this, I must give it out. I've gotten this, I will give it out. Without pride, without the sense that I'm doing something great, I'm doing something wonderful, I'm giving Krishna That's not the idea. What I'm giving is what I gave, what I received. And what I received, I'm now appreciatively giving it to others and hoping and praying and begging to the Lord that whomever I give it to will respond to it, will take it, will exult in it, will enjoy it and go on practicing it and then share it with others. This was what Prabhupada wanted us to do. He wanted us, as he said so often, don't just give out my books, but read my books, read my purports, understand my purports, and you will feel the nectar of these verses, and in feeling that, you will be communicating it with those persons with whom you speak. They will feel your joy, feel your peace, feel your strength, feel your love. They will feel all that, and they will know you are definitely different than anyone else they have ever come in contact with. Because they don't get that here, there, and anywhere. They get it from a devotee who is fully fixed, fully practiced in Krishna consciousness. So, now coming a little bit to this very wonderful verse. It is mentioned here that... let me read it again. He said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc. So this was not as I would give a sword to you. For example, I give you my sword, or I give you my my knife, or I give you a plate of prasadam. It's a different kind of giving. The kind of giving we have here is it's an invisible giving. Actually, he gave him the Sudarshan Chakra because he knew that shortly thereafter, Durvasa Muni would arrive there. And a situation would arise in which Durvasa Muni would falsely and wrongly feel insulted by the king and would therefore try to punish the king and call him a phony, call him a king who is not fit or not suitable for his position. And to punish him, what he would do is he would take a clump of hair out of his head, fling it on the ground, and after flinging it on the ground, the hair would rise up as a fire demon with a trident. And he would order that demon to kill the king. And what would happen? The Sudarshan Chakra that the Lord had given to the king. He gave it to him in the sense that he ordered his Sudarshan Chakra. Generally, you don't see Krishna walking around with Sudarshan Chakra. And I'll explain that in a few moments. It's there, as Prabhupada mentions again and again, protecting this particular devotee. When that situation would arise, as it's mentioned in the purport, he knew that King Ambarish is not going to start a fight with the Brahmin. Generally, Kshatriyas don't fight with Brahmins. They know that Brahmins have threads, and sometimes Brahmins break threads, and they pronounce curses, and they're not very pleasurable. So, the Lord knew that Ambarish is not going to fight with this Brahmin. In fact, that's what happened. He just put his hands together, lowered his head, and basically said, "Thy will be done." If that's what you want... You want me, if that's the result of my karma or my reactions from the past, I'm due to be swallowed or killed by the trident of this fire demon, so be it. He accepted it. He didn't say, "Oh, wait, I'll explain this." He didn't do that. He didn't say that. He didn't try to make his case, so to speak. Because his case was with God, his case was with Krishna, and he knew that whatever was happening to him was being given to him by Krishna, and therefore there could be no wrong in it, and there wasn't, as we will see. So what happened here is that when the demon manifested, that Sudarshan Chakra, which I just mentioned in the translation, which the Lord had given to King Ambarish, gave it to him in the sense that I give you this protection. And this Sudarshan Chakra knows exactly what to do to help you, to protect you, to make sure, to insulate you so that you will not be hurt. And that's what happened. As soon as the fiery demon came, the chakra materialized, manifested. For those who may not know what the chakra is, it's a whirling disc, and it's got about 1,000 little points on it. And when it whirls around very, very fast, and if it hits your neck, well, you know what happens then. Which I will talk about for a moment with Shishupal, when it hit his neck. Anyway, that's what happened. The fiery demon was killed by the Sudarshan chakra. The Lord was protecting his devotee. And as we sit here very calmly, very quietly, and very peacefully, we are being protected. We should not think that that's only in the book. It's happening right here. You don't see the ceiling coming down. Please. You don't hear people barging in, like sometimes it happens. People screaming, people yelling, carrying clubs, they're shouting, "Down with the Hare Krishnas!" You know, it's very, very, very peaceful here, very calm, very quiet. Krishna is allowing, enabling, and arranging for this. Those are the three words. He allows, he enables, and he arranges. And we are the beneficiaries of that arrangement. We're so fortunate. There are people right now, they're caught in riots. Just a few days ago, there was this riot. I saw it on TV, with motorcycle gangs, 5 motorcycle gangs at this diner. Somebody cracked a bad remark or a low remark, and the one gang member didn't like it. And before they know it, they were fighting. Before you know it, there were chains being thrown. There were knives going. There were guns going. There were 9 people, I believe. You can correct me if I'm wrong on the figure, but I believe 9 persons died just over a nothing, an argument. Because they had a short fuses. Each one is trying to lord it over the other. "Don't you talk that way to me. What are you going to do about it?" "I'll show you what I'm going to do about it." "Yeah, go ahead and show me what you're going to do about it." "Oh, you want to show me?" "Yeah, I'll show." Boom, 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 boom. All right, he's down on the floor. And before, we had hundreds of people brawling, fighting, screaming, shouting, throwing bats and clubs. Finally, the police came and they broke it up there. I think they arrested at least 150. There are hardly any room in the jail for all these. It's a small town. You know. So, that's not happening here. We're very fortunate, and we should be counting our blessing that we can sit and every day listen to a different speaker, or we can listen to Srila Prabhupada on Sundays, or we can have a Prabhupada festival like this without interruption, with the protection of the police. Actually, the police don't protect us. The police get the power to protect us from Krishna. That's where the police get their power from. Let me give you a little incident, which you all remember going back a few years when we had President Ronald Reagan. How many remember Ronald Reagan? Okay. Well, when he just took office, he was in a limousine with his secretary Brady, and he got out of the car. The car was not only inside, but outside, surrounded by Secret Service men. Oh, there must have been about 30 or 40 Secret Service men. They were all over the place. He got out of the car, and John Hinckley was standing, waiting for him to prove to himself that he could kill the president. And he took a few shots at him. Reagan did take a shot in the stomach, I believe, and Brady got one in the head, and that really affected him for his whole life. Where was the protection? Secret Service men being paid big salaries to protect the problem. You can't be protected if Krishna doesn't want you to be protected. So to get the protection of Krishna, we do what King Ambarish did. Not that we pray for protection, but we pray to become better and better, greater and greater devotees of his lotus feet, to try and give him more pleasure, to try to surrender to him more, to try to sacrifice more, to try to love him more, to try to share what he's offered us in the Bhagavad Gita more. All these wonderful book distributors who are going here and there and everywhere, thousands and thousands of books going out, people touching the books. Sometimes devotees say, look, you only got about 50 people, 60 people in the temple. Why do you judge it on that? What do you think? Know what's going on inside a person. And when that inside stuff that's going on and the circumstances arise, as I said, when Krishna arranges, when Krishna enables, when Krishna permits, and that comes to fruition. Suddenly, man wife dies. His child gets kidnapped. Oh, so many problems going on. And suddenly he says, why is this all happening? And that book has been lying on that shelf for 20 years. And he takes this book and he looks. And immediately he reads something that Srila Prabhupada says. You have set this in motion in your past. I have set it. How could I? And he starts to read. I set it in motion? How could I have done that? And the way Prabhupada writes in his own inimitable way, that yes, these are the results of what you do. What you do today will take fruit in the future. What you have done yesterday will take fruit today. So he starts to read the book, and then he calls the BBT. I want more information about this. Where do you have your meetings? Oh, this has happened thousands and thousands of times. Therefore, a devotee doesn't go by numbers alone. He goes by the quality of the book. He goes by the quality of the service. Yes, if you can do big numbers, fine. But if you do small numbers, but your heart is pure, and you're doing it with all the love and devotion and sweetness that you can conjure up, so that that person will take the book and like the book and like you and like what's in the book, well, you're doing a great, wonderful service. So we shouldn't only measure things by how many numbers. The main thing is Krishna being pleased by what we are doing? And in the manner that we are doing it, the attitude with which we are doing it, the love with which we are doing it. As I mentioned, that Krishna says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances. Worship me, thus completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Again, another promise. Or he says to Arjuna when they're on the battlefield, therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time perform your prescribed duty of fighting, with your activities dedicated to me, and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will come to me without a doubt. That's a promise. Keep your mind on me. Devote your work to me. Develop your love for me. Know that I am protecting you. I am guiding you. I am giving you your food, your clothing, your shelter, your everything. When you know this and you feel that you are protected by this, that you're being given this, then you cannot help but feel some obligation towards the Supreme Lord. How can we not like him? How can we not love him? How can we not want to serve him? The only way we would not want to is because we want to be the center. We want to take the limelight. We want to take the... Excuse me. We want to take the focus. And in Krishna consciousness, our business is to put the focus on Krishna. The focus on his pure devotees. And to glorify them, to honor them. To applaud them, to salute them, and to share them with others. This is what Krishna consciousness is all about. It's a conquest over envy. And it's the development of affection for all beings as a result of feeling our connection or our part and parcelship with the Supreme Lord. So therefore, what happened in this situation is that the Sudarshan Chakra came and it not only killed the fire demon, but it then goes after Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni starts running here and there, all over the earth. He's got mystic powers. He can't escape it. The chakra is on his back almost. He goes into caves, the chakra's there. He goes into the ocean, the chakra's there. He goes up into the sky, it's there. Goes to planets, there. Goes to Lord Brahma, can you please help me? I can't help you, you have to ask somebody else. Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, can you please help me? I can't. Better go to Lord Vishnu. Nobody could help him. And Lord Vishnu says, I can't even help you. That chakra is programmed. It's programmed to kill anyone who tries to harm the devotees. The only way you can deprogram it or unprogram it. Is that a double meaning, that word deprogram? And I don't mean it the other way. The only way that you can unprogram that is you have to go to the person whom you've insulted, which was King Ambarish. And throw yourself at his feet and apologize to him. I'm so sorry. I didn't understand. I didn't really mean it. And please forgive me. And then as soon as he said, please forgive me, Ambarish says, I never had anything against you. I never felt that you did me any wrong. If you wanted to kill me and that's God's will, so be it. Let it be it. Yogi was so amazed by this king that he was so much more advanced than him with all his mystic powers. This was a man who, and not only that, it's mentioned that for a whole year that Durvasa did not come down. He was with Lord Vishnu for a whole year past. He didn't eat anything. So some may ask, how could he live without eating? Ambarisha is not an ordinary human being. If he were an ordinary human being, he would have died. But he wasn't ordinary. Krishna was always protecting him, guiding him in any and every way possible. So we have another example. I mentioned before that generally the Sudarshan Chakra is quite invisible. If we can all remember in the Mahabharata, there's a very interesting story there. I'll just tell it briefly. About Shishupal, who hated Krishna because he stole the woman who was supposed to be wedded to him, Rukmini, and he could never stop hating him. So Shishupal is a very interesting story. When Shishupal was born, he was born rather hideous. He looked rather hideous. He had three eyes. And he also had four hands. He looked a little bit awkward, to say the least. So it wasn't like Lord Vishnu with the forearms. He just had, it says it has four hands. So the parents were very upset. Well, how can we show him around? You know, they got an eye here, or maybe it was over here, I don't know. But he has the hands. They'll just think that we must have done something bad in our past to deserve a child like that. So they were about to take him out of the woods and abandon him. Just as they were, a ghost appeared and materialized. Don't do that. This child of yours is going to be one of the most powerful persons in the world. There is only one person who will be able to kill him. Oh? And who is that? Well, the person who will be able to kill him will be the person who, when your son looks at him, one of the eyes disappears and two of the hands disappear. That will be the person who is going to kill him. So that story went all around the kingdom, all around India, Bharatvarsha. And finally, Vasudev brought Krishna there. Vasudev was the brother of Shishupal's mother. So it was family. And Shishupal and Krishna were cousins. So Krishna came over and he sat down on the couch. And mother said, oh, look at our nice little boy. So she took the little boy and she put it on Krishna's lap. And as soon as he looked at Krishna, immediately the extra eye disappeared and two of the hands, they disappeared. And the mother looked, oh, Krishna, your cousin, you're going to kill your cousin. So she said, please, I beg you, don't kill him. He's my son and I want him to live. So I said, oh, my dear auntie, okay, I'll make a deal with you. So she said, what's the deal? He said, well, your son is going to be a very offensive critter, really. I will tolerate up to 100 insults of this critter. After that, I kill him. So you better teach him right. Bring him up so that he knows what good speech, polite speech, good etiquette is. Will you do that, my dear aunt? Oh, I'll make sure he never says a bad word against you forever and ever and anon. Okay. Anyway, we know that didn't happen. So what happened was at the Rajasuya sacrifice. The Rajasuya sacrifice was made primarily by Yudhishthira to glorify the Supreme Lord Krishna. He didn't need any glory for himself. The Pandavas were already glorious. But he wanted to glorify Krishna, and you make a big occasion like we're having a Prabhupada festival. Why do we have this festival? To glorify Prabhupada. So they had a big festival to glorify, as far as Yudhishthira was concerned, glorify Krishna. And so what happened was that Bhishmadev began to talk about, they were up on the stage. Bhishmadev began to talk about the glories of Krishna. How wonderful, how amazing, and how kind, how truthful, how knowledgeable, how wise he is. And Shishupal was just going like this in his seat, like that. And some of his cohorts were also. So then Sahadeva, which is one of the five Pandavas, he got up and talked very glorifyingly about Krishna. And then again, Bhishma Dev said that Krishna should become the president of this big festival. President means he gets the first offering from the sacrifice. So that was too much for Shishupal, who was sitting there. So Shishupal then began to rant and rave. How can this cowherd boy, and he emphasized cowherd boy, be elected the president when we have so many kings here? Actually, Krishna was not a king. He was the right-hand man. And Balaram was the left-hand man. The actual king being Ugrasena, that is called the de jure king, the legal king. The de facto king is Krishna and Balaram. They are basically, they rule in fact. And whatever they say, King Ugrasena will do. They know who, he knows who they are. So he goes on talking about Krishna being a cowherd boy, a womanizer, a wife stealer, a Vaishya. And he goes from one thing, one insult to another, one insult to another, on and on and on. Meanwhile, Krishna is going, 81, 82, 83, 84. Is he going to hit 100? 86. Finally, he hits 100, puts his finger up, and materializes the Sudarshan Chakra, gives him the order, whoosh, end of Shishupal. So that's what happens to blasphemers of the Supreme Lord and offenders of devotees of the Lord. There are a number of other incidents in which Lord Krishna manifests or invokes the Sudarshan Chakra. The Sudarshan Chakra is not just a piece of metal with pin. It's a servant. It's an actual person who manifests and serves the Lord by protecting devotees and doing the orders of the Supreme Lord to get rid of certain persons who may be hampering his mission. So, therefore, Srila Prabhupada goes on, as we will see in the following purports, to explain in no uncertain terms, in great abundance, of how a devotee has the opportunity to gain such perfect, such great protection. Krishna says, in all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. In such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. If, however, you do not work in such consciousness, but act through false ego, not hearing me, you will be lost. And that's basically everybody in the world. So our business is simply to follow what Krishna has said. Depend upon me, he says. Depend. In other words, when we have to do something, before we do it, we should say, oh, my dear Lord, I'm so full of failings, I'm so full of faults, that I'm wrong, and you're perfect, you can't do anything wrong, therefore I beg for your mercy, please, please, please guide me, direct me, enable me, so that I can do it the way you want it done, not the way I think it should be done. Give me your direction. I don't know anything. And what I know, I can forget. So the devotee learns to depend upon Krishna and ask Krishna for help. That puts him in a position of like a baby. A baby is always depending upon its mother. Takes the hand, please take me here. Where are we going? Like that. And if the mother leaves the child, you know, I've seen that happen. Sometimes child may be walking with the mother on the street and the mother walks ahead a little fast. And so the little baby gets scared. Mommy, wait, wait. You know, like that. So the mother turns back and waits. The child feels helpless. Doesn't know what to do. Where's he going to go? Who's going to feed him? Who's going to clothe him? Who's going to shelter him? Who's going to love him? Who's going to give him ice cream? Who? So similarly, our position should be just like that of a child. Mature, yes. But like a child internally, always depending upon the Supreme Lord who knows everything, and is willing, ready, and eager to help us all. Eager to help us and will help us. And that's the business of us as devotees here, to assist each other, to help each other, to encourage each other, to enliven each other, to spur each other on to greater and greater heights of devotional love and service. Not just, I sometimes see devotees walking around chanting chapa that look like zombies. It's unfortunate. I almost want to cry. Where's their enthusiasm? We have to enthuse these people. You see somebody looking like a zombie, start talking to him. I do talk to quite a few. I also look like a zombie sometimes. So, yeah, because they're not feeling the taste of Krishna consciousness. So our whole business is to share Krishna with everyone, to beg the Lord Krishna to guide us, to pray to the Lord as often as possible. It is said in so many scriptures, pray unceasingly. And if we do that, and if we depend upon Krishna, our life will truly be successful, enlivening, and fulfilling. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Thank you.
What's that called? There was a paper here, and then I gave it to a Krishnapad. So Krishnapad would be the one to see on it.
Chant the Hare Krishna Prabhupada, that's the way it works.